Good morning.
Good morning.
I think something special's happening today. We got two friends of mine who are going to be reaffirming their baptismal vows. They're saying they want to be followers of Jesus. And so that's something that we can celebrate. Hey, I see some snowbirds back. Welcome home. I'm glad your contracts ran out down there. You know what? Got such a nice crowd. Let's greet, and we're all in this together, huh? Brothers and sisters in Christ, our hearts are in the right place to say our prayers and to thank God for the beautiful weather we have this morning. This is a special day, and it's nice to have all of you gathering in this small country church out in the middle of nowhere, a place they call Malmo, Minnesota. Everyone's invited to join us for Holy Communion at the table of our Lord. Everyone's invited to join us for coffee and cake after the worship service. So everyone's welcome in this house of the Lord. Just two quick announcements. If you are in, would like to sing in the choir for Easter, we're meeting at 5:30 on Wednesday, okay? 5:30 on Wednesday. That's also the same time as the potluck. So if you want to come 5 minutes early, have a little lunch before dinner, have a little dinner before singing, we're going to practice at 5:30 on Wednesday with our choir master. I think that's all we need. The rest of the announcements you can be responsible for. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God, and you tell us, whether we listen or not, that you love us and care for us and never leave us nor forsake us. You promise us your strength. You promise us your presence in our lives. You promise that you'll always be by our side. And so today, as we celebrate affirmation of baptism vows, as we celebrate Holy Communion and gather around your holy table, stir your spirit in us and awaken in us your spirit that we might love and care and see the world through your eyes. So bless us with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Shall We Gather at the River, 423. Rise.
Soon we'll reach the fiery river.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
Come, let us acknowledge our sin and seek God's face that we may live. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Holy God, we confess that we have turned away from you and from our neighbors and in toward ourselves. We have sought security in possessions and the place of power in relationships. We have trusted ourselves most of all. Turn us back to you, O God. In your mercy, forgive our sinfulness and cleanse us from guilt and shame. Guide us on the path of freedom. Hear for yourselves, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the waters of baptism, grace abounds for you and for all. God turns to you in love and puts away every sin, every wrong turn, for the sake of Jesus, the one God sent to save the world.
Amen.
Please be seated. We have the affirmation of the baptismal service. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 234. So I'd like Tom Peterson and Zach Simonson to come forward at this time. Why don't you face the congregation and take a centerpiece here. You look really enthusiastic there, Tom. You guys are special. Each one, God has created you and given you gifts and talents. And there's never been anyone created like you. And never one will have the same thoughts or gifts or talents or imagination as you. You are special. And God has created you for a purpose. And so we've asked you to come before us, take a central part of our congregation. And today, traditionally in the church, when you reaffirm your baptismal vows, today you become a man. Today you're old enough to say, I want to follow Jesus. I'm ready to take this step forward. And so that's why this is quite a milestone, and that's why we're all gathered here for you. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these brothers whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. And so, Tom and Zach, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, say, I renounce them.
I renounce them.
You renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? If so, say, I renounce them.
I renounce them.
You renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, say, I renounce them. You believe in God the Father? If so, say, I believe.
I believe.
You believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? If so, say, I believe.
I believe.
You believe in God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, I believe.
I believe.
You guys have been in confirmation for 3 years now. And I don't give any tests in confirmation, but we learn and study and try to understand how God has worked through history. So I'm going to ask these guys some questions and let them show you some of the things they've learned. Now they said, well, what if we forget? I said, don't worry about forgetting, because we all forget, don't we? We all forget, yes. And they said, what if they laugh? I said, if they laugh, I'm going to go and ask them some questions. So, let's see. Should we start at the beginning? How many books are there in the Bible?
Oh, which Bible?
Let's say, not the Catholic Bible, the Protestant Bible.
66.
How many in the Old Testament?
39.
How many in the New Testament?
27.
What is your favorite book in the Bible?
The Lost Book of Thomas.
The Lost Book of Thomas. His name is Thomas. He says the Lost Book of Thomas. Why is it the Lost Book?
Because the people weren't authorized to put it in the Bible.
Right. Actually, I don't think that when they put the Bible together in 382 that they didn't have access to the Gospel of Thomas. So that's your favorite book. What's your favorite book, Zach?
The Book of Zechariah.
What number is it in the Old Testament?
38.
Number 38, the Book of Zechariah. Mine is James. 20th book of the New Testament. Yeah. Let's see. Some of the historical people, I'll give you the name, you tell me the date, okay? Approximately when they lived. Abraham.
2000 B.C.
Joseph.
1500 B.C.
What does B.C. stand for?
Before Christ.
Moses.
1250 B.C.
Greatest king of all Israel was David. What year did he live?
1000 B.C.
Who was David's famous son?
Solomon. 990 B.C.
How many wives did he have?
Over 900.
What are you laughing at? We studied the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity, Babylonians overran Israel, took all the leaders out and spread them throughout the then known world. What years were they spread out?
587 B.C. to
532 B.C.
Yeah. Our lesson today that I'm preaching on from Ezekiel was writing during the Babylonian captivity. What was the day, what year did was Jesus born?
4 to 7 B.C.
What is the date of the Reformation?
October 31st, 1517.
Okay. October 31st, Halloween, Holy Evening. The next day was All Saints Day. The people worshipped all the saints that had passed away before. They were coming to church on All Saints Day. Martin Luther wrote 95 theses, 95 statements, pounded them to the door of the Wittenberg Church. And that was the birth of the Protestant Reformation. What is the oldest and largest Protestant church in the world today?
Lutheran.
Yeah, good. Tell me four kinds of prayer.
Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
Give me an example of supplication.
Supplying for like a friend that has an illness or disease.
Okay, give me an example of confession.
Confession for like hitting your brother or...
Does that happen a lot? anything I missed? What is the season of the church year?
Lent.
How long does Lent last?
40 days except every Sunday.
How do you set the date of Easter?
First Sunday, first full, after the first full moon, after the first...
Day of spring.
Day of spring, yeah.
There you go. you can see, you know, I could just go on and on and on and on. These guys have got the history down. Now, they know 99% of the, more than 99% of the people in the world, but you're going to forget it. That's just the way things are, okay? But this is the beginning of your Christian journey. Just because you're getting confirmed, this is your first step. Your faith journey is going to continue to grow. And what's the most important class you're ever going to take in your life?
Confirmation.
Confirmation. Why is that?
Because you get to decide your theology.
You're always going to be doing theology. You're always going to be wondering who God is and how he works in the world and how he works in our lives. Confirmation is the most important class you're ever going to take?
Yep.
What about math?
No, I hate math.
Okay, so you can see we've covered a lot of things, and these guys have become my friends. I'm going to invite their. We should give them a round of applause. I'm going to invite their parents and sponsors to come forward, and we'll ask you guys to come over here, and we will. Why don't you kneel down, Tom? First, I'm going to ask you, Tom, you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. So, if you'd like to put your hands on Tom, we'll give him the blessing. Heavenly Father, stir up in Tom the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. All right, now I'll have Zach come over. You can move to that side, yeah. Zach, you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
And so, people of God, do you promise to support these brothers and pray for them in their life in Christ? If so, say, we do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Let us pray. People of, we give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. And so, Zach, stir up in Zach the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. So we rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we give thanks and praise to God, proclaim the good news to all the world. You can stand up there, Zach. So, come on over here, take a central place with Tom. These two, boys to men. When we do baptism, you know how I hold the baby up and say before and after? This is the after. All right, thanks. You can be seated. You can be seated. You can be seated.
First reading for today comes from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a promise that Israel, as a nation, though dead in exile, will live again in their land through God's life-giving spirit. Three times Israel is assured that through this vision they will know that I am the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many, very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The psalm for today is Psalm 130. I would ask you to read responsively with me the dark print. And when you see the bold R, would you read the refrain, "I wait for you, O Lord, in your word is my hope. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. I wait for you, O Lord, in your word is my hope.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the 11th chapter of St. John. We're going to jump all the way over to page 5. And this is the story of the healing of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Jesus shows up 4 days later. Mary and Martha are crying. They said that if Jesus had been there, that Lazarus wouldn't have died. So the second full paragraph on page 5. Then when Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, who told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 781, Children of the Heavenly Father. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We had two great lessons today, great stories. I thought I'd preach on the Ezekiel one. Reminded me of a song that I learned when I was in vacation Bible school. I've asked Mar, can you play that kind of that tune, that Dem Bones? You know Dem Bones? How does that go again? Dem bones, dem bones, dem bones, dem dry bones. All right. Dem bones, dem dry bones, dem bones, dem bones. Okay, and then it goes, "Now hear the word of the Lord." And then they go from the toe bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone connected to the back bone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Yeah, them bones. Yeah. Have you heard that song before? Or is it just me? Okay, good. You know, I thought about asking Wally if he'd come up and dance to that and we'd really play it, but we don't, this is the Lutheran church and we don't show all kinds of good emotion that way, so Wally can take a break. But that's the feeling we ought to have. It just makes us want to dance, I think, when we hear that song, the story from the book of Ezekiel. The nation of Israel, the holy city of Jerusalem, had been laid waste. They had torn the temple down. Everybody, they'd taken the leadership out of Israel and spread them throughout all of the Babylonian kingdom. It was a tragic scene, and the prophet Ezekiel is crying and hurting because of this, but he has a vision. And in that vision, he sits in the middle of a valley where there's nothing but old, dried up bones, and that's the people of Israel. The bones were everywhere. It was a scene of total desolation and despair, a valley of dry bones. You ever been in a valley of dry bones? I mean, Zach and Tom, you guys ever go to school and not study for a test? And you get the F, and then you got to go home and face mom and dad. And then your friends start teasing you, and it ain't much fun. And then your girlfriend says, "See ya." You're in dry bones, dry bones. And the rest of us, you know, some of us have been, some of you have been in bad marriages. One day you woke up and all around you are dead bones where a loving relationship once had been. There have been happier times, times when you thought your marriage was made in heaven, but now you're going through hell. Dry bones. Or it happens when you ponder your health or your relationships with your kids. Sometimes those go south. A few years back, life seemed so promising, but one by one, the dreams seemed to drop off and die, and now you sit surrounded by old, dry bones. You don't know what to do. For many of us, it happens as we age. This has been a long, long winter. Rolex, you had fun down south, but you're still going to pay for it now. and the pundits are right. Aging is not for sissies. Your strengths falter. You spend an inordinate amount of time in doctor's offices, dry bones. Or perhaps you're caring for an aging parent. You tell yourself you don't mind because you love your mom, you love your dad, and you'll do whatever you can for them. But times are tough, and it begins to affect your health and your well-being. Dry bones. So Ezekiel looks around at his people, and there's all dry bones, and he understands that these bones represented the people of Israel. And they have been scattered, and they're living without hope, and the temple has been torn down. And he knew that only a miracle could bring his people together again and restore them with vitality and with purpose in their lives. Only a miracle would make the people live again. And so as Ezekiel gazes upon this dry bones on the desert floor of the Kidron Valley there in Israel, he hears the voice of the Lord asking him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now there's a question worth asking. In other words, is there any hope for the people of Israel, for the relationships that were made in Israel? Is there any hope for your relationships, for your health, for your family, for your future? Is there any hope? And Ezekiel answers, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Only you know." And God says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" I love that sentence, "Hear the word of the Lord." The word of the Lord is a powerful word. Yesterday, the boys and I went to Noah, and the word of the Lord said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and it was great. The word of the Lord is a powerful, life-giving word. And God says to Ezekiel, "This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you'll come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover your skin. I'll put breath in you, and you'll come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord." That's what God says to Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesies as he's commanded, and as he's prophesying, there's this noise, there's this rattling sound that's going on, and the bones come together, bone to bone. The toe bone connected to the ankle bone. Ankle bone connected to the shin bone. Shin bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the back bone. Back bone connected to the neck bone. Neck bone connected to the head bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. And Ezekiel looks, and suddenly these tendons and flesh appears on all of these bones. And skin covers them. It's a miracle. But still, there's no breath in them. Then the voice of the God of God says to him, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So Ezekiel prophesies to these bones. And breath enters those new formed bodies. And they come to life and they stand on their feet. And this is a vast army of Israel. Can you see it in your imagination? I mean, you younger folks, for a generation that's fascinated with the ideas of zombies and cyborgs. I mean, this is what's happening. You got nothing over on what's already happened in Ezekiel's life. And God asks, or says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we're cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll put my spirit in you and you'll live, and I'll settle you in your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I, the Lord, have done it, declares the Lord." You know, you hear that story. Doesn't it make you want to wake up and dance and thank the Lord for all his blessings? That which was dead, he brings back to life. That which was without hope gives us a promise that we're going to be restored to vitality again and purpose again. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. So going through some old magazines a while back, I came across National Geographic that had... remember when Mount St. Helens blew in 1980? You guys weren't even born then, were you, Zach? What year were you born?
98.
Holy moly. 1998. Tom, you were born 97, 98? 99. Mount St. Helens blew in 1980. Mount St. Helens, it blew this ash up, and all the rivers and all the forests burned down. And when the sun set here, it was just red in the skies, not gold and yellow like it was last night. And they thought all the animals were going to die and all the fish in the streams were going to die. But you know what? In spite of those streams being clogged with mud and silt and all kinds of debris, those fish, the next year, they found new tributaries, new waters, some only 6 inches deep, and those fish, salmon and steelhead, found their way back to lay their eggs, and they replenished themselves. And a few years later, the forest grew, and it seems they grew better than they did before because they were nourished by all that mountain ash. Don't ever call any situation hopeless. Not as long as you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what our faith is all about. That's what following Jesus is all about. This is a world in which we're never beyond hope. You and I who call ourselves Christians. Those dry bones can come together and live once more. Point of this meditation is that our God, the God you guys decided to follow, is a God of new life. That's the good news for the day. God is a God of new life. There are all kinds of examples of new beginnings and fresh starts all throughout the Bible. I mean, we covered them different weeks at a time. From Abraham, 2000 B.C., and leaves his homeland, goes to a strange land. God promises him he's going to be the leader of a whole great nation, and he gets to 90 years old, and his wife Sarah is still with he and his wife Sarah were still without children. 90 years old, she's probably 80. And they laughed at the idea that God would fulfill his promise, but they were wrong. Sarah bears a son named Isaac, which means laughter. Isaac means laughter because they laughed at God. And there's Joseph, 1500 B.C., just like you said, Zach, boy with the coat of many colors. He was despised by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, deceived by Potiphar's wife. But God intervenes in his life. He's thrown into prison. God intervenes, and in a relatively brief amount of time, he becomes second in the kingdom of Egypt. And there's Moses, raised in Pharaoh's court, 1250 B.C., banished to the wilderness after he kills somebody, raises his father-in-law's sheep. God comes to him and says, I want you to lead my people free, and he becomes the bearer of the Ten Commandments. David, King David, greatest king in all of Israel, God, a man after God's own heart. He gives in to lust and adultery and deceit, and ultimately he murders, and he pays a terrible price, and his family pays a terrible price, but God never gives up on David. And we read in the Psalms, and we know that he discovered God's grace in life. And from his lineage comes the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. And in the New Testament, we heard about Zacchaeus a couple weeks ago, a tax collector despised by all. He's probably a cheat and a traitor, but after a meal with the master, Zacchaeus turns his life around. And about the disciple Peter, impetuous and ineffective, indecisive, quick to anger, the disciple who denied the master three times. You'll hear that story next week. And yet he becomes the leader of the early church. Apostle Paul, who persecuted the early Christians, but he had a vision of the risen Jesus and was transformed and became the greatest missionary that ever lived. You think your life is hopeless? Think your marriage is hopeless? Your future is hopeless? You look at the bones of your life, your marriage, your future, and you despair that anything good could ever come of it? Well, hear the word of the Lord. Dem bones gonna rise again. Mary Magdalene was a woman tormented by seven evil spirits. Luke chapter 8, verse 2, Wally. And she becomes the first follower of Jesus who appears and sees the resurrection, sees the empty tomb. God's still doing miracles in people's lives. There'd be reason for us to despair if we were simply discussing ancient history, but Christ is still moving in people's lives today. I was reading a story out of Christianity Today. Philip Yancey was having a conversation with a young man named Mike who worked with homeless people. He said that Mike told him that homeless people, they don't go with all the monkey business of when they're saying their prayers. They say their prayers straight up. They talk to God straight up. They let him know what their concerns and what their hurts and what their sorrows are. They pray without pretense. And Yancey, the author, asks Mike for an example. And he says, well, my friend and I were playing for a homeless bunch in a shelter. We were playing our guitars, and we played Shall We Gather at the River, and it talked about the healing waters of Jesus there. And David, a homeless man, was sitting there, and he started crying like a baby. When Mike asked what's wrong, he says, that's what I want, man. I want that water. He says, I'm an alcoholic and I want to be healed. And he was healed. And there are hundreds of thousands of alcoholics today who will tell you from the first-hand experience that Christ still provides healing streams of water to all who ask it of him. God is still doing miracles in people's lives. And the promise is he'll never turn his back on us. He'll never turn his back on us. So that's what God can do in the lives of those who trust him. You two made your promises. You said you wanted to follow Jesus. That's what God will do for you. Ezekiel heard the voice of God asking him, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Point is, maybe you're asking the question about your life or the life of someone you love today. Can these bones live? Well, hear the word of the Lord. Dem bones, dem dry bones, dem bones gonna rise again. Amen. Let's join in singing our sermon hymn 773. Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 6. Let us pray together. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these gifts which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Returning to the Lord our God, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Take a moment for silent prayer. Pour out your Spirit upon your church so that your people speak words of life to dry bones. Hear us, O God. Bring newness of life to all of creation, to animals, plants, lands, and sea, that they be refreshed. Hear us, O God. Unbind all nations, peoples, and tribes from violence and war. Breathe the breath of new life and reconciliation where there is conflicts. Hear us, O God. Stir up your healing power to redeem from illness all those who wait upon you, especially those in our lives who need your healing touch. We pray that they know your steadfast love. Hear us, O God. Inspire this congregation to honor and lift up the gifts of all artists, musicians, needle workers, painters, potters, and sculptors, that your glory be revealed. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of this day. We especially thank you for being with Zach and Tom as they made confession of their faith and desire to follow you. Be with them. Make them strong. Give them an abiding faith in you through all the changing experiences of life. Walk with them and grow with them. We thank you for family and friends as well, and for this country in which we live. Help us to respond to your goodness through deeds of love and words of support. We give you thanks for all the saints who have been lifted up to live with you in light eternal. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at God's holy table, ever mindful of his presence in our lives. We have been through the valley of dry bones, and he has promised us new life. Some of us are going through dry bones right now, and he promises us new life. It is found in this bread and in this wine. At Jesus' Last Supper, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we will receive communion through intinction. You'll be handed the bread in the, and you'll dip it into the either the wine is the dark-colored liquid, the grape juice is the light-colored liquid. If you are gluten intolerant, ask who's ever serving, and we will serve you bread without flour. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on page 7. Let us pray. God of mercy, we give you thanks for seating us at your table and serving us with the food of eternal life. We who once were dead are now living members of your Son, awakened by the breathing of your Spirit. Send us out to awaken others to the mystery of your love, which is revealed to all the world in the one who came to give himself away, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is What a Fellowship, 774.